Dear Father God, please prepare our hearts for your presence. May we welcome your reality, eager to be carried across the threshold into your home front. Because everywhere around the world, everyone wants to rally. But Lord, we want to rally right before your throne.
Yes.
Lord, awaken your deepest compassions for you within us as one body, hungry to be embraced in spirit and in truth and in light. Provisioned and equipped for entrenchment as soldiers inducted for the very long haul, not satisfied with enduring one or two battles, but unified children of your heart's delight, abiding throughout the remainder of the war in abounding joy and confident peace, being restored face to face, shining forth with faith and hope and love, an instrument of your grace. Thank you so very, very much. Amen. Amen.
Okay, give it to Debbie.
Good morning. Pastor Karen asked me to read opening scripture, and it is 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. And it's out of the New Living Translation. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord, as it was said today, let us be pleasing in your sight, in your presence, for we know that you are here, Lord. Can we stand? And this opening, let it be a prayer to him, but we're doing it for everyone, not just open the eyes of my heart, but as one body, let's open the eyes of this body's heart also, that we can see what he wants us to see today, hear what he wants us to hear today, not only in our lives, but for the body that we are in. I wanted to get rid of my gum. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But, okay, like, I'm so, like, thrilled because nobody knew what this sermon was about. And then, so hearing then Melissa pray, and it's like, it is emphasizing a lot of what this is about. And then, you know, it was just so neat. And then Dick sharing, and that was one of my scripture references that, you know, I have a lot of scripture references, but you know how I, you know, don't go to every single one. I just go, Lord, you know, lead me when I share. What do you want? But this morning I was going through and I had that one and I felt I wasn't supposed to share that. In fact, I put a couple more out and I was like, wow, he's so amazing. He just is so amazing. I just love him so much and how he just works those things out. But as you see, I have this blouse on, and Paul says, I've never seen you at church with a t-shirt on. I said, there's a purpose, but I have a skirt on, so that it helps dress up the t-shirt a little bit. But you see the heart. I have the heart here. I decided to keep this up because remember, Pastor Wayne Cadero, since we're kind of referring a lot for a couple months or so from the book, The Irresistible Church, Wayne Cadero said in last chapter that he's going to refer to us a lot as our identity being the bride of Christ. But remember how I wanted to come in with camouflage boots, army boots, military boots, you know, and a military hat, and I wanted to have the sword and a bridal gown on because we're like soldiers of Christ, and yet we are also the bride of Christ. So I wanted to, like, you know, we're supposed to look beautiful, but yet always ready for battle. And, like, don't mess with me. That's why I like that one picture of that one lady with the, you know, with that sword. She's like, you know, she's looking really pretty, but, like, don't mess with me. She's got that sword in her hand. So, and that's what we're supposed to be. And the other picture of that woman, alert. But today we are going to be talking about the heart. And what a time too, because this Wednesday, from Wednesday evening to, or no, Tuesday evening to Wednesday evening, is Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. I mentioned it last week. And this is the time where we, as Christians, though, our atonement, that sacrificial atonement, was made through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we are under the new blood covenant. And it is just awesome. But we still want to recognize this day as a day and these days of awe. We're still in the days of awe right now before we get to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And so we want to remember that we always need to be, as I said, fessed up, ready to just repent of our sins, know and recognize our sins, be teachable, asking the Holy Spirit to say, where did I blow it? And wanting to repent of that and then receive, you know, once again, you always have it, but you're like, through that repentant, submitted, you know, heart, the Holy Spirit is able to then work again in you and through you to help you, to teach you through that and to help you grow, to receive what that atonement really has done for you, that power of his blood to continue to work in you with his mighty power, that cleansing power, that freeing power, that delivering power, that healing power that is constantly there. But unforgiveness blocks the power of the Holy Spirit to continue to move and work in us. And so we want to have that freedom to continue to work in the power of the shed blood of the cross that he did for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. I ask and pray that you will help each of us to open up our ears, our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits to you, Lord God, so that we can truly hear what you want to speak to each and every one of us, Lord. I thank you that there's always new things to learn, new revelation, and just continue to encourage us, each and every one of us, through your word. So I ask and pray this, Lord. Thank you for this time, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. So this trait today, we're going to, as I mentioned, an irresistible church lives by the heart, lives heart first. So being heart first, being God's heart first. And that's the chapter you'll be reading this week. And, you know, Wayne talks about examples of his church. And remember how we, in the trait number one, it was about seeking God, being really hungry for him, totally and completely seeking him. And then the last week, it was on our identity in Christ. As I mentioned, the bride of Christ, warriors, we are his child, we are joint heirs, we are his. And that's why we can be mighty warriors for him. But we need to be ready always for him and excited, because he's coming soon for his bride and we want to be spotless. And that's another reason we always want to be fessed up in a sense, constantly recognizing we're sinners, but thanking him and praising him that we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And in that, we were learning how in Ephesians 5, verse 22, remember it said, wives, be submissive and adapt yourselves to your husbands as a service to the Lord. Well, often we make our own plans, and then we'll find out that they kind of get redirected. Well, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says that. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. See, this is what God is saying. Life happens. And so in obedience to your husband and submissive to your husband, this is a heart issue. He wants you to adapt just as he wants us to adapt to his plans and purposes. Our God is like awesome and creative, right? And so we see that as we adapt to him. We've seen that as Jesus showed a great example to us on how to live a life pleasing to the Lord God. Well, Jesus also brought healing, didn't he? And we see examples of him healing people. But did he heal the same way every time? He was adapting to the situation as the Holy Spirit led, being obedient to the Heavenly Father. And we see in John chapter 9, the blind man was healed. And the people were asking, you know, is it because of his parents, because of sin, or did he sin? No. It's for the glory of God to come right there and then to show up. It was for God's glory, for the manifestation of the power of healing to come right there and then. But the way he was healed was Jesus spit on the ground, John chapter 9, verses 5 through 7, made some mud with the saliva, and he put it in the man's eyes, and he said, go. And he told them to wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Now, then we see an example of in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 25, he spit on his eyes and put his hands on the guy, and he was healed. Okay, this was a blind man healed in Bethsaida. Then in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30, and Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 30, there are two blind men that are on both of these situations that are healed. And it says that he touched their eyes and they were open. No spit involved in this one. And it's like, I don't know if this is a time-saving thing, because, you know, it says in Matthew 20, it says Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. And it's like, I'd vote for the non-spit way. And the no mud on my eyes, you know, I'd want to go. So I kind of like would have hoped that I was one of those with the two being healed at once, you know. But in that, though, we need to remember that we need to adapt to our Lord. We are His, and we need to be obedient to the Lord God and how He directs, because His heart is full of love and compassion. But he's a creative God, and he wants us to be willing to be surrendered with our heart to his heart, and being willing to do what he calls us to do, when he calls us to do it, how he calls us to do it. And it's for his glory and for his purposes. Now, Wayne talks about in his book about his church, New Hope Oahu, and when they were beginning, they were meeting in like a cafeteria area or something, and they had like the cafeteria tables. Remember how we would do that when we were at the Oracle Coronado K through 8 school off of Oracle? And so sometimes we would have things afterwards and like little picnics and stuff, and we would have those little tables, right? And it's not easy to get in and out of them. And so they had to set up church in this way, using these as a table. They had no chairs. The musicians had to bring their own instruments, and they just didn't have a lot of stuff. They had to all bring resources themselves and set up, tear down. In fact, this church meets at a high school still. It is very large. It does have some property and some buildings, but the setup crews come at about 2 in the morning to set up. They have a rotating setup team at this point in time. Well, in the beginning, they started doing better, and they started having programs and buying this and that and having this and that. And it's like, cool, we got our own chairs now, and we've got this, and we've got our own equipment. The worship team doesn't have to bring their own instruments all the time. They can just use, we've got some nice equipment for them, good sound and great video and audio resources and great children's ministry, and everything was going well. And then a woman says, where's the heart gone? See, in the beginning, they were all gung-ho because they had that love of the Lord and this heart of service that no matter what, Lord, I am sold out for you and I will do this for you. But in that, all of these programs meant well and they were good. And they started with wanting to please God and wanting to help others and glorify God by having the best they could for Him. But the heart, it was starting to be not so much heart first as image first. See, we need to be careful. What are we doing and why are we doing it? Is it a heart that really is God's heart? Does He care about image? How did He bring His Son here? King of kings, Lord of lords, God, the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, the Son, He came in a very lowly, humble estate. And did he have a lot of this and that? No. Did he need a lot of this and that to follow through and to accomplish what God had for him? No. What he had was the heart of God and the fullness that came in that. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it says that God was pleased to have all his fullness rest upon and be in Jesus Christ. It says, I gave it all to him. And then, he didn't stop there, he says, and then I wanted to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And he did that by making peace through the blood that was shed on the cross through Jesus. See, all that fullness was in Christ, and Christ was carrying that fullness with him. And he carried that fullness to that cross too for us, so we could have the fullness of the heart of God. And we can move in, live in, and breathe in, and do in with his heart. But what are we always doing? We're fighting, aren't we? We're fighting a battle of our flesh. Our flesh tends to be selfish and self-centered. And so we need to remember to surrender, just as like David in Acts 13:22 and 1 Samuel 13:14, we see that the Lord sought out David, a man after his own heart. And the Amplified in Acts 13:22 says, he found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will and carry out my program fully. This is what we want to be. That was Jesus. He was willing to do what the Father said. But how did he get to know that? It was by listening to the Holy Spirit, being surrendered to the Holy Spirit, who gave him the instructions of his Father. This is what we're learning to do through the Set Free ministry and other ways. We listen to God. He speaks to us often through his word. He speaks to us in different ways. Yesterday, he spoke to me. He gave confirmation, just in general conversation on the way to an Aglow conference. Then a woman I didn't even know said something to me, which confirmed something that was just said in general conversation. And I thought, I better follow through on this. Because to hear it that many times, it's been spoken to me before. But it's like God wants me to remind me of what he has for me. And I need to be obedient. So I followed through. I will follow through even more as what I feel that the Lord had told me to do. Somebody who didn't know me. This happens. Have you ever seen that where you're hearing the Holy Spirit talk to you, God speaking to you because you're watching something? I remember even God talking to me at the movie theater. I was at a movie theater and it was one of those commercials before the movie. And he spoke loud and clear and I'm pulling out my Bible and I'm pulling out a paper out of it because, you know, not writing in the Bible, but, you know, I had paper and I'm like writing in it in the dark theater trying to write down because something that commercial said, God touched my heart and I knew he was speaking to me. Our Holy Spirit speaks to us in many, many, many different ways, but we have to be surrendered to that. Our mind has to be surrendered to him. And we need to remember to live like living sacrifices. As Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, he goes, I beseech you, and this is the New King James Version, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, often he will speak to us through his word. Do we take time to hear his word, to listen to his word? Has anybody ever said something to you that is directly from his word and you didn't want to hear it? You don't want to have anything to do with it because it was convicting. Now, I've been there and then I've kind of repented eventually and then it took me a while to get to that point of repenting. But my heart was really, Lord, I know I'm blowing it, and I need this stung, and it hurt, and And so I need to forgive. Often it's on maybe like unforgiveness. Somebody's hurt me. That one's not always easy for me, an offense. And so we need to remember, though, we have that heart that wants to please God. And so, okay, Lord, forgive me, teach me. And I need your help on this. I need to forgive this person or that or this offense or this. But I need your help. There is a friend of mine who, somebody had hurt her dearly within the family. She had done so much for that person. And the Lord told her to give something that she bought at a conference that we just went to a couple months ago. And she bought it for her, but then at the same time when she bought it, because she really liked it, she knew it wasn't going to be just hers. And then eventually the Holy Spirit directed her on who he wanted her to give it to. And excuse me? So she asked me, Karen, will you pray for me? Because I don't want to. I don't want to do this. But I need to forgive this person, and I need to be obedient to God, and I'm struggling with this. So she asked for prayer support, and I did. I lifted her up in prayer and said, God, please help Sue through this. You know that this is hard to do. So help her. Help her through this. And then God eventually helped her, and she sent it. So she sent me a text one day, sent it. Praise God, you know, I sent back. Because it's like, it wasn't easy sometimes for us to do. But that obedience. And when you need help, or like the Holy Spirit's, maybe you're feeling that God's telling you to do something or speaking to you, and you're just not sure, then ask somebody else to join you in prayer over it. Because everything should be brought to the Lord in prayer. I mean, When you, especially if it's a major commitment, something like that, a job, ask somebody else to join you in prayer. And seek counsel and as you're seeking the Lord, because you want to be right with God. So it's better to have somebody else joining you if you can. If you can't do specifics, then ask somebody just to do a general prayer for you. I'm praying over something right now. Would you join me in prayer? But I don't feel at liberty right now to give you specifics. We as mature Christians should honor that. And we should just lift that up because God knows what it is. You are lifting them up. God, please be with them and help them. Now, one thing is, as we're being obedient to the Lord, is we need to remember to gather with other Christians. And that's not always easy to do because I don't know about you, but some of you, does bed feel better in the morning? So, I mean, hello. I mean, I don't know about you, but I love to sleep in sometimes. I really do, because I'm like more of a late night person more so. And so that bed feels awfully good on a Sunday morning sometimes. Now, Pastor Jenny shared with me a cartoon that she loves, and it was of a person that was in bed hiding under the covers. And you see this woman, like, you know, grown woman saying, come on now, you need to get up. You need to get out. Come on, we need to go to church. No, I don't want to, is the voice. And she's going, yes, you need to. She goes, honey, the church needs the pastor there. So don't think that pastors or spiritual leaders or the Sunday school teachers or the volunteers at church do not have that battle sometimes of like this bed is feeling awfully good. Or maybe, boy, there's that party going on or this or that. Or, man, I enjoyed last night, but I got to bed really late. I'm exhausted. But if it was your job, you'd be there. If it was your job paying a penny per day for 30 days, you would so be there. As that multiplied, you would so be there. And that's what you have to come, because God cares about you and he wants you to come to church. He wants you to not forsake. I don't know about you, but not even Sunday mornings. Sometimes I've had an exhausting day and going to this prayer night, it's like, it's a challenge sometimes to make that as a commitment. But God wants us not only on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week to not forsake the fellowship of other Christians, because we need to help encourage one another and build each other up. This is how we can keep our heart in line with his heart. keeping it turned into not the image, but his heart. Because as Colossians 3:23 says, whatever may be your task, work at it heartily from the soul as something done for the Lord and not for man. The image is for man, but for the Lord, it is a heart issue. And we need to keep that heart right with God. So, are you willing to make that commitment to go for the gold, for those streets of gold? Have you ever heard that saying, a heart of gold? On the internet, I was looking up and it says the meaning for this is that you are sincere and you are a genuine, sweet, nice person. Jesus was. He had God's heart. He was God's heart. He was God's heart in action here on earth. He was God's hands and feet. He was God's voice. He was God's love and fullness to each and every one that he came in contact with, and those who were just watching, and those who heard of him. He was God's heart. He had a heart of gold because he came from the streets of gold. And that's where we should have, is a heart of gold, aiming for that street of gold. There's also have a heart. That saying, many of you have heard that one. That usually comes when like somebody's cross or frustrated with somebody. Oh, have a heart, please. Have a heart. Well, that still is God's heart. Because in the internet it says, this saying usually means to deeply care for, to show compassion. Jesus, remember, when he healed those two blind men, it said he had compassion and he healed them. And then they followed him because they wanted his heart too. So we need to be warned that when you're going for the Lord and you're wanting to grow in him and be in him, you don't want to burn out. Remember how I said pray about everything that you're involved in? Now, sometimes God asks us to be busy. And sometimes you have a little bit busier season than other times. But in that, if it's obedience to him, he will give you the grace and the empowerment to do so. But if it's out of his alignment and out of his perfect will, you will get burnt out. You will get tired. But a supernatural empowerment of his grace comes in when you are obedient to him, especially when it's things that he's asking you to do that you don't understand. If we have a heart in serving in this church, set up, tear down, where he has to go, the challenges that we faced, if we have a heart for him and not our image, then he will give us the grace to do that and continue to do it. But it's for him and for his glory. So this, as our church, we as Pathway of Hope, not only in our own lives, we need to surrender to have his heart, but together, unity-wise, we have to have his heart. And we need to be careful with one another and praying that these different things that we have going on still is backed up with his heart, not for image, not for self-gain, not for I feel good because I did good. That was really nice what I just did. No, it's because you want to glorify him, and it's for him, for his glory. Not for you, turn the glory back to him. If somebody's healed through your prayer, turn the glory back to him because it is because of Jesus Christ, the power in you and through you, by his name, by his blood, that resurrection power, that is what can heal people through your prayers. Because those prayers, it is him going to the throne room and the Holy Spirit coming and doing the healing through that prayer. He is interceding. Both Jesus and the Holy Spirit are both known in the Bible as our intercessors. Praying. The Holy Spirit often will pray for us with words that we don't even understand. And sometimes you have to lean on that. Jesus, Jesus. You don't know even what to pray for. The Holy Spirit does, because he knows your heart and he wants your heart to be in line with his heart in perfect harmony and unity. We need to remember to be quick to forgive. Mark chapter 11 verses 22 through 26 talk about that. And in that, it talks about having the faith of God and you can move mountains, right? But at the end of that, in verses 25 and 26, it says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Yes, we need to remember that. Forgiveness is very important. We need to make that decision to forgive. Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is a choice. We need to depend on the Lord God by receiving the Holy Spirit and depending on Him to help us to forgive. We need that dependence and surrendered spirit to do what God has called us to do, to have His heart. But we need to obey that Holy Spirit. And then, the one that I told you about, the offenses, when people hurt you, that's not always easy. Ooh, once again, God tells us in Romans 12, 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Bless, in the Greek, means to speak well of. These things which we commend in an enemy, we are speaking God into them. We are speaking what He wants because He's passionately pursuing them with His heart. And we don't want to put curses on them. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who covers and forgives an offense seeks love. See, when we are doing what God tells us to do in obedience, every form of obedience is worship to Him. It is a seed of blessing, and we will sow and reap the blessings of God when we reap the blessings of God when we sow the blessings of Him through obedience unto others. Every time we obey God, it is a blessing to Him. It is a sweet aroma because it is worship unto Him. Every form of obedience is worship unto Him. And He loves that when we have that heart of surrendered. And some of that, some people would say you're a hypocrite. No. If you choose to do it, when you get out of bed, your body's saying, I want to stay in bed. But you're saying, no, I choose to. Some would call that a hypocrite because you're not giving into your body. No, you're not giving into the flesh. You're giving into the spirit. That heart wants to be obedient to God, and you want to bless Him with your obedience.
So you're being faithful.
You are so being faithful. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, never return evil for evil or insult for insult. Scolding, tongue, lashing, berating, but on the contrary, blessing, praying for their welfare, happiness, and protection, and truly pitying and loving them. For know that in this you have been called, that you have been called to do this, that you may yourselves inherit a blessing from God, that you may obtain a blessing as heirs, bringing welfare and happiness and protection. We need to remember that vengeance is His, as Hebrews 10:30 says. But He cannot do that if we don't release it. See, obedience releases God to work. Disobedience, He doesn't have to go through that. Now, sometimes He does, in spite of our disobedience. But He loves to work with our obedience. It releases the inheritance of His blessings into our lives. We need to remember that we need to be teachable. Proverbs 3:12, I mentioned this before, we need to be teachable. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as the Father, the Son, in whom He delights. Once again, I said, live a surrendered life, and this is yielding to Him. I mentioned Proverbs 16:9, a man plans his ways, and then God directs his steps and makes them sure. But do remember Acts 16, verse 6, and the Apostle Paul, he was feeling led to go here and there. And then all of a sudden, he's forbidden by the Holy Spirit to enter Asia. And then he goes, after that, he had come to Mysia, and then tried to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit did not permit them to go there. He was with, I think, Timothy and Silas, I think, at this time. But this is showing that here's a man of God, loving God, praying, being obedient to Him with all of his heart, fighting that flesh thing he mentions in the Word, but he doesn't do what the Holy Spirit says not to do. He even goes to a place one time, knowing he's going to be arrested, knowing he's going to be tortured in obedience to the leading. But what happened? He was empowered by the grace of God in order to do that. It was for God's will, God's purpose, God's plan. We need to give God room to work. We need to make sure that our hearts are ready to be His hearts. Do you remember that plaque or that saying? I remember seeing it on a plaque years and years ago. I asked Jesus, "How much do you love me?" And Jesus stretched out His arms and died. He did that for each of us so that we can have the power of the resurrection. His heart comes by the power of the resurrection, and the light of Him comes through that. It shines. The glory of the Lord shines in us and through us to others. But we have to have that surrendered heart. Dick mentioned about the Pharisees, and they didn't have that heart. And Jesus also, in Luke chapter 11, verse 37 and 42, it says, "Woe to the Pharisees, because they make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but you're full of the inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not He who made the outside make the inside also?" And then in verse 42, he says, "But woe to you, Pharisees. You tithe your mint and rue the herbs. And then you pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." See, the outside looked good. They had a heart that was showing to everybody. They looked really nice. And they had been filled with the love of God by being obedient. But then they wanted to just keep that for themselves. So they put a lid on it. And they said, "Look at me. I'm like, full of God. I got it, man. I'm looking good, aren't I?" And the Lord's saying, "That isn't why I have you in the position I have you in. I have you in a position to continuously be filled with the living water, with me, so you can then pour over onto others. But you cannot spill and pour onto others still looking good if you put a lid on it. You need to be teachable. You need to have a heart that is open to Him to receive continuously that refreshing living water pouring down from heaven into you, through you, bubbling up, rising up out of you unto others. We need to be His heart. We need to not worry about image. See, He gave us His heart. And when we put our heart into the Lord's hands, He then puts a light in our heart and holds us wherever we go, so we then can be an extension of His heart to others. But we can only do that through having Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior each and every day. Because as our Lord, and we surrender our heart to Him, we will then be moving, living, breathing, doing all that we do because Jesus' heart, the fullness of God, His heart, is in Jesus, who then gives it to the Holy Spirit, who then gives it to us. And we can work in the power of the resurrection, the power of the blood, the power of His name, the power of His truth. We can be that, each one of us, and together as Pathway of Hope. We need to be surrendered to Him. May I pray? I want to pray the blessing of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. I'd love for you to just open yourselves up, open your hearts to receive this. Lord, I thank you and praise you for each one here at Pathway of Hope. I thank you for Pathway of Hope. We are yours, Lord God. May our hearts totally and completely each and every day be surrendered to you. May your heart shine in and through us to others, spilling over unto others as we are open to you. And may we now, Lord God, may each of us receive that, Lord, you will bless and keep each one of us. Lord, you, Lord God, will make your face shine upon each one of us and be gracious to each one of us, Lord God. May you, Lord God, lift up your countenance upon each one of us and give us your peace, Lord God, in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for coming this morning, and I pray that God will just continue to bless you this week. So if you want to just sit and soak, that is fine. If you want to go, that is fine.